Psalm 10, verses 6 through 11. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the paw. He catches the paw when he draws them into his net. So he crouches, he lays low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face, he will never see. Assumptions about God. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Where are you, Lord? The wicked say in their hearts, I shall not be moved. The word moved means shaken, fall, or totter. They are saying, I am undefeated and I am unbeatable. This attitude is one of defiance and pride. It says, you can't touch me, God. Pharaoh had this attitude. In Exodus 5:2, we read, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. The wicked expect to prosper in the future, and they are unconcerned about the days ahead. This is why they're unconcerned about hell. Isaiah 56, 11 and 12. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and even much more abundant. Tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Just more and more and more, accumulating, just getting, piling up, building up. But little do the wicked realize the only thing they're saving up and building up is the very wrath of God. The claim of the wicked is, I shall never be in adversity. In the Hebrew text, this reads from generation to generation, I am he who will be exempt from calamity. The wicked are content with what they are doing. They feel no accountability and do not worry about retribution. They feel secure. But brothers and sisters, we know that it is a false security. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail comes upon a woman with child, then they shall not escape. God warns us that arrogance and defiance toward him have a price to pay. He that, being often reproved, hardens his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The assumption of the wicked, realize, comes from their heart. He has said in his heart. You hear that all the time today, people lifting up the heart as if this is a good thing. But a person that is not regenerated, doesn't have a new heart, they have a heart of stone. And the heart of stone speaks like this. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. So much for the heart left to itself. Proverbs 6:14, forwardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually, continually, for you that would think people have a good heart. When they say, in my heart, deep down in my heart, deep down, Matthew 5:28. But I say to you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in your heart. Do you realize this? You that are listening today that has maybe never come to Jesus Christ for salvation, that you think that you have a good heart? Well, the scripture says every time you look at a woman to lust after her, every time you look at that woman, when you look at her, Christ said, it's the same as you committed adultery with her in your heart. But now, you contrast the wicked left to their own devices with the godly that has been given a new heart. Psalm 15:2, he that walketh uprightly and works righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. See the difference? One heart is just given over to pride and boasting and wickedness. But the one that has been given a new heart in a new covenant, he walketh uprightly and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Psalm 37:81, the law of his God is in his heart. What does it say? I will write my law on their hearts. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The wicked had said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. The righteous one says in his heart, Lord, not my will, but your will. He doesn't say, I shall not be moved, for he doesn't know what the Lord has for him in the next moment. He cannot say, I'll never be in adversity. We learned the lesson from Peter. Peter said, I'll never deny you. And the Lord said, before that rooster crows three times, you'll be denying. Very careful when you talk about the heart. The scripture says the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? That's it. An unbeliever. That's a heart of stone. You become a child of God, the Lord gives you a new heart, and new desires begin to arise up. We continue in our study of the wicked. David describes the attacks of the wicked. And David is wondering, where are you, Lord? Brothers and sisters, do you find yourself that way? Where are you, Lord? In verse 7, we see the wicked. His mouth's full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. We see the character, the cruelty of the wicked in this verse. His mouth is full of cursing, deceits, plural in the Hebrew text, fraud. It is stored and is ready to spew out. Verse 8, he sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places. He murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. This verse reveals the confidence of the wicked. His eyes are set against the poor. In the Hebrew, this reads, his eyes lay ambush for the helpless and the weak. You ever notice how it's always, I should say always, many times, very often, it is the poor and the helpless that are oppressed. The helpless and the weak. In his classic book, The Land and the Book, Thompson states that the Bedouin robbers will rarely attack an armed inferior party. Those who are poor and defenseless are pounced upon like wolves on sheep. Women and children are stripped, and the women are forced to be slaves. He found that most of the men were lazy, filthy, proud, and foul-mouthed. The land in the book that comes from. Also, it says about him being a hunter. Verses 9 and 10, he lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net, so he crouches, he lies low, so that the helpless may fall by his strength. The cunning of the wicked is explained in this section. Brothers and sisters, if you think this world is going to get better, you have no understanding about the sinfulness of men and women. The wicked do not want to be alone in their sinfulness. They want to include others in their folly. They draw others into their nets are put on the pads of their prey. Brothers and sisters, temptations come to us every day on our everyday paths, whether it's in the home, school, or work. And I know very often when you speak about quote-unquote others, about the wicked, we have a tendency to say, well, we're righteous, they're ungodly. But let us never forget, but for the grace of God, so go with you. And many of us were in that position of the wicked. We were just like being what is being described in our text today. We must never forget. Sometimes we say, oh, you know, they're so wicked. Well, just remember, if it wasn't for the restraining influence of God Almighty, so go with your heart. Because you were born the same way as the rest of mankind, with a heart bent towards wickedness. We see the cunning of the wicked explained in this section. The nets are on the pads. Hunters camouflage their nets when they lay their traps for their prey. Satan does the same thing, brothers and sisters. You who would be outside of Christ, you who are lost, Satan's doing the same thing to you. He conceals the destructiveness of sin until it entangles you. The wicked fall by their own sin eventually. Proverbs 5:22. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself. You reap what you sow. The plumb line that you use is the same plumb line that's going to be used on you. Proverbs 26:27, whoso digs a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth the stone, it'll return upon him. The attitude about accountability. Psalm 10, verse 11. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Where are you, Lord? The wicked says God has forgotten and hides his face. He will never see. He will never require anything. The wicked drown God out of their lives. They believe God doesn't care how we live. I want to assure you, he does care. Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and the human race was cursed with death. The world was destroyed by the flood. The nation of Israel went into captivity because of their sin. God is long-suffering. But long-suffering doesn't mean there's not an end. There's not an end to his patience. John Phillips shares the story about a man named Friedrich Nietzsche. Many of you have heard that name, Nietzsche, that said there's no God. God is dead. Nietzsche betrays the attitude of the wicked in these verses. In the late 1800s, there emerged in the continent of Europe a man who did more than any single person to pave the way but a common antichrist. His name was Friedrich Nietzsche. He was born in the home of a Protestant pastor. While he was still young, his father died. He grew up in a home dominated by women, which included his mother, his grandmother, his sister, and aunts. By the time he reached the age of 12, he had rejected the biblical beliefs of his parents. Mockingly, he redefined the Trinity as God the Father, the Son, and the devil. This step was the beginning of many that would lead to a spiraling path downward into the paths of sin and a damaging philosophy that would ruin his life and the lives of millions of others in this world. Nietzsche's teachings led directly to Nazism and the German concentration camps of World War II. His great cry was for the coming of a Superman. His book, The Will to Power, had a powerful influence on the men, and a man in particular, Adolf Hitler. Nietzsche taught that Christianity was the one great curse, the one immoral blemish of mankind. He hammered away at the lie of all lies. God is dead, God is dead, God is dead. He called for the abolition of all morality. His most famous work was The Antichrist, in which he called upon the world to recognize its true God and to fall at its feet. God watched this man's scornfulness, this man that cried, God is dead. And God judged him by having him locked up in a madhouse. He died a lunatic. One astute observer penned this couplet when Friedrich Nietzsche died. God is dead, says Nietzsche. Ah, but Nietzsche is dead, says God. God is long-suffering with the wicked to give them time to repent. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The law is not slack concerning this promise, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're listening to this message, my friend, that you've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation, today is the day of salvation. There is a judgment that is coming. You shall be judged. The scripture says this is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Every man or woman that has ever lived appears before God Almighty and is judged. The scripture says that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You and I and every other person who has ever lived. There's a judgment coming, and we have all sinned, and we have to pay for that sin, or another one has to pay for that sin in your place. And that other one that can pay for your sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. For he lived a perfect, obedient life to the law of God, which no other human being has ever done, no one has ever done, but the God-man Jesus Christ. He fulfilled God's law perfectly, and then he was crucified. He was crucified unjustly. He died unjustly because in and of himself, he never sinned. He never sinned, so he shouldn't have died, but he died because he died in our place for all of those that would repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, beware. Beware. And child of God, if you're listening, should you not be thankful? Should you not rejoice that God has restrained evil in your life? That God has delivered you from a life of sin and wickedness? Should you not rejoice. God's delay of judgment is interpreted by the wicked that nothing will happen to them. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He'll never see it. But God does see. Matter of fact, not only does he see, he knows every thought and intention of our hearts. Children of God, we need to be thankful and grateful and loving. And if you've never come to Christ, come to Christ today. For God has not forgotten. He hasn't hidden his face. And he does see. And there will come a day that you shall give an account.